We are Unqualified Parenting.
We're here to do the work researching topics so that you don't have to. We're a dad
and a mom aiming to bring you our own unique perspective from our two very different blended families. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm all right.
Yeah.
I'm over everything.
Yes. Yes. I think everyone's kind of hit that moment of just like, fuck.
Yeah.
Another day. Here we go.
Yeah. I feel like trapped, more trapped since losing my smell and taste because.
You can't explore Flavortown. You don't get to see Guy Fieri.
No.
Yeah. A world without Guy Fieri is not a world. What if my house was
burning down?
Yeah, well.
Like, we were standing outside of a restaurant with friends that we haven't gone out to eat with in a year, but they just got vaccinated. Nice. And we just had a COVID. And I'm like, hey, do you? And they're like, hell yeah.
There needs to be like a dating app for that.
I just had COVID.
Like, I'll swipe You're left. Safe. I just had COVID. You just had your vaccine.
Yeah. But we were standing outside the restaurant. She's like, do you smell fire? And I'm like, no, I don't smell anything.
I smell fucking goddamn thing,
she's
Sarah.
She's like looking in the distance. But we've already given up touch. Like, I remember Matt, who we've had on the podcast, I had to pick something up like right probably a couple months into pandemic from his house. And we were distancing and wearing masks. And I always give him a hug when I see him. And we just stood there awkwardly. And I was like, well, goodbye. And he's like, bye. Mm-hmm. And it's sad because I wonder if going back into it, if it's going to be weird now. Because it's like, are you going to hug me? Are you still scared?
I think what's happening is this is the great equalizing.
Is it going to make non-huggers huggers?
All these fucking extroverts. Who are all high on their game. Oh, I'm so fucking confident. You're now going to feel the anxiety of introverts. Like, do I hug? Do I not
we
hug?
We don't want
you
that.
You end up going into like a side body shake. So this is a great equalizing.
I don't like it.
I talked to a stranger yesterday or the other day.
You just like someone outside. Hey.
Well, like, hey. I'm pretty extroverted, right?
Yeah.
And I'm a pretty physical guy. I like hugs and high fives and
just
pats on the back.
And
I love picking people's noses. It's the best. Well, and like, I haven't like engaged with strangers because I don't want to like cross that threshold of like what's
okay.
What's okay and what isn't.
Yeah, it's like we're dating again, but we're dating the entire world.
So I'm at the grocery store and I'm picking out an avocado and there's an old lady and she's like grabbing like 10 of them. So I go, do you know how to pick these out? Because I have no clue. She goes, no, it's all bullshit. And she like keeps packing these avocados. And I was like, really? She's like, yeah, I have no idea. She's like, I just try to find a soft one. And she's like, that one looks good. And I took it home and it was horrible. It was not a good avocado. But having that interaction with
That's
someone
so nice.
Else, because when we're out, it drives Mikkel crazy. Because we always make friends everywhere we go. We're outside of the store. We're talking to everybody. Like, and it used to drive her nuts because she'd be like, no, I don't want you to talk. I don't want you to make friends. I don't want to stand here for 10 minutes. And I haven't been able to do that. So I talked to a stranger.
Good job.
Yeah. She had a puppy. She had candy in her car. And I went in her car and she touched me.
That is the goal of talking to strangers. Mm-hmm. You won.
Yep.
So we already have the sense of touch taken from us.
Yep, it's gone.
And now I have smell and taste. Like,
you've always
feel like
lacked
I'm a robot.
Taste.
Shows in Who I Married. Oh, burn. And he can't even defend himself.
That burned you too.
So three of my five senses are gone, and sometimes it's very claustrophobic. Like you thought
you
pandemic.
Still have touch. You can still feel things.
I can't just go touch people like I used to.
You don't really need to touch people.
I need to touch everybody.
Touch pets. No, don't. This is...
dear, should we start over?
Dear FBI, don't add me to that list.
Let's start over. Hi, Cody. How are you?
Touch your pets. Yeah, it sucks. I've gotten to the point where like talking to people, it's just like, I don't want to ask you the same question I'd ask you a million times. Cause I'm going to say, how's your day? And you're going to go, eh. And you're going to go, how's your day? And go, eh. And we're both going to type at the same time. Fuck this. And yeah, fuck this. When is this going to be over? I don't know. And then like, no one went on vacation. No one saw a good movie lately. No, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so it's hard to.
Yeah, there. One of our neighbors was walking by and there were so many long pauses, but you could tell we both wanted to talk to each other because I haven't seen them in so long. They haven't seen me. And like Finley was like, hi. Like even she was excited to see people standing and talking to us. But there were so many long pauses.
Every interaction is going to be like a weird first date. Even with people you know in the background, reunited. And you're like going to want to like high five and shake and not going to know what to do. And yeah, it's weird.
Well, and like I'm having some friends over for game night for the first time in this pandemic.
Forever.
Except for Dina, who we've had over, I think, two times. But that's because my daughter goes to her house for 40 hours a week. Like if she gets it, we get it. Daycare, yeah. Duh. And I'm just like, I just need one night. I'm in my 90-day window where I can't get it. And like, it's super safe people that we're doing it with.
And Fauci said, look, you know, if you got a vaccine, you got a vaccine, you can hang out.
Well, I don't have a vaccine, but I had coronavirus. It's just an account.
Same thing.
And I bought an air sanitizer system with like the UV light that like kills bacteria.
Everyone's going to have to walk through like an airlock where you're just going to spray them in the face with Lysol.
So I'm being safe, but it's like for those of you that are being like still going on vacations and still doing things when your friends ask like, oh, what's new? If you're like, oh, I just got back from Hawaii and da da da, then you're worried about people going to judge you.
Yeah. Yeah, we spent 2 weeks eating our way across Italy. It was amazing.
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck you. You know?
So, like, you never know how people are going to take it. So then that's awkward to talk about, mm-hmm. too. Well, everything's just awkward.
Same with, like, getting a haircut. Getting a haircut means that I went into an environment where my mask had to come off at times, where other people were.
Where are you getting your haircut? I've had my haircut. My mask never has to come off.
When they clean up the edges of your ears. I don't know if your barber does like a bald fade from the bottom up.
A and then bald fade?
Yeah.
No, like I don't have a bald fade. And then goes up. Oh. Fades up. Nope, but I don't have a bald fade.
Like at work, it's like this weird thing that like if you get a haircut, people look at you weird. Like my boss hasn't cut his hair since the start of it. It's just kind of like you're not proving a point. You're just trying to force people into feeling guilty because you're too dumb to realize that you can go get your hair cut. You're probably okay. Like
some people might have anxiety over getting their hair cut though.
And that's totally fine. And I'm pretty sure if you contacted someone, they'd come to your house and cut your hair right there in your house. You wouldn't have to worry about it.
Like bring their COVID with them. So yeah, it's just a very robotic feeling without like, senses and then also like working from home full time now.
Yeah, it's like, I can't wait to like work for something. Oh, we're going to go on vacation next month. So we're working towards vacation or we're going to buy a boat. You know, I don't know. Like there's nothing to really work for. Right
now. Yeah, we had an Alaskan cruise that we bought tickets for in December because there was like an amazing deal because it's not until August. And they're like, if you buy tickets by the new year, like, and you pay cash, like you get this and this and this and like, crazy awesome deal. And then Canada's like no cruises 2021, so like we don't even get a go now and our money's just sitting there because like, well, we don't want to refund it because it was such a good deal.
Yeah.
But then we can't use it for another trip, but where are we gonna fucking go anyway?
No, it's
Just weird. It's a weird time.
I tell Mikhail, I have almost over 100 hours of like PTO saved up.
Oh, nice.
I'm the type of guy, like remember when we worked together, I was the type of guy who like managed his PTO with like within 15 minute intervals. Like, all right, I'm going to bounce out 15 minutes early because I got 15 minutes PTO. Like I use it all the time. Just haven't been using it.
Yeah, that sucks.
Well, should we talk about the topic of the day?
Yeah.
It's ADD. Burp, Purdue.
What was that?
I don't know. That was like, I thought
it's like a deflated tuba.
I thought you'd be more excited.
ADD.
It's going to be kind
squirrel time.
Clinical today.
Squirrel.
All right. So I have to give some disclosures.
Uh-oh. Disclosures or disclaimers?
Both.
Oh, shit.
Contrary to popular belief, I am not a doctor.
Wait. This whole time, we've been telling people that you're a doctor?
I am not the urologist I pretend to be online.
Damn.
I'm not a psychologist or a therapist. I haven't studied pharmacology or biology. Literally, I'm an imbecile. Okay, so if you're taking any advice from me, please don't and talk to a doctor. And this is for entertainment purposes. Symptoms may include rash, fever, bloody nose,
vomiting, runny blood, stool,
inability to eat, inability to fart. Contact your doctor if an erection lasts more than 4 hours. All right, with that out of the way, we're talking ADD. So most of the information I have is based on growing up with it, but being undiagnosed and then being diagnosed as an adult. So back when we were kids, to get a diagnosis of it, back then it was ADHD.
Mm-hmm. I think all you had to do was look at a doctor and you could be diagnosed with it.
Well, it seemed like it was like any kid that was rambunctious.
Yeah.
They're like
you have ADD. You have ADD.
Like they were shoving pills in their mouths like it was like trick cereals. Like, no,
yeah.
It's good for you. But there's actually, that's a common misconception. It's not like this overly diagnosed thing. It's actually underdiagnosed compared to just about everything else.
Really?
Isn't that weird?
That is weird.
But we think it's crazy because we see a crazy kid and they're like, oh, he has ADHD.
Do you think maybe it's the parents just saying that, but then when they take to the doctor's like, you're fucking have a 2-year-old. Piss off, go home.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's exactly what the doctor says. Yeah.
Well, and there's a lot of parents who are like, oh, he doesn't, he's allergic to vegetables. No, he just knows that you're a pushover and he's just not going to eat them. So you just need to be, anyways. So there are some misconceptions. So, I thought I'd kind of start with like what is and isn't ADD, because like not a lot of people know. A lot of like how would you define ADD?
Probably the inability to focus on the thing you're supposed to be focusing on for more than 15 minutes at a time without help or guidance.
Well, there's a big spectrum on like what it is, but basically, it's a neurological executive function disorder. So it's like it's an actual medical thing. It's like it's but here's what it isn't. So to dispel the myth, it is not caused by bad parenting. It's not caused by diet, food additives, refined sugar. It's not a gift. It's also not a curse. It's not curable. It's not, oh, it's just in your head. It's not imaginary. It's not made up by pharmaceutical companies. A lot of people think it's just a childhood disorder. It's not. Many people think it only occurs in children, but 60% of children diagnosed at a young age continue to exhibit symptoms throughout adulthood, which you'd think people would understand. ADD is not contagious. You cannot catch it. ADD is not laziness or bad behavior. It's not even a behavior disorder, which a lot of people would say is, oh, it's definitely to say it's more of a developmental disorder. Mm. ADD is not being stupid. It's not easy to deal with. It's not the inability to focus. It's focusing on everything at once. So people with ADD, it's not that we can't calm down and focus on what we need to. It's that we have 100 horns blaring the exact same volume all around us, all telling us they're a big priority. All right.
How do you know which horn is really a big priority then?
It's really hard. The best way I ever described ADD was in our brains, we all have these tasks we have to do. And that's just bowl of noodles. In a normal brain that has functioning executive functions, the ends of the noodles are color-coded. So you're like, oh, I need to do my laundry. That's the red ends. And you grab the red ends, you lay it out straight, and that's done. People with ADD, none of the ends are colored. And so you say, hey, can you do the laundry? Well, as we're trying to pull ends to figure out what we're doing, we've got, oh, I was trying to find all my dirty socks and I came across this comic book I haven't read. So now I'm reading a comic book when I should be doing something else. So ADD is a really complex neurological disorder, and it's been studied for a long time. But with these disorders, they get studied at kind of like a different intensity in different fields, and people will study different things. And so if you ask like a neurologist, they would say that it's an issue with dopamine regulation. It's just dopamine. If you ask a geneticist, they'll say, oh, it's just passed down with bad genes. It's just bad genes. That's all it is. Basically, it's just a complex disease. It's caused by a large number of factors. It's like you either have it or you don't. That's all basically comes down to. It's just kind of this disease, but it's multifactorial. So there's a lot of things that can kind of feed into it and cause it to get worse. So some of the effects of ADD and some of the ways that you can kind of see it in your kids. Number one for me is poor planning. I never plan more than a day in advance, ever, in my entire life. And I can see that with my daughter in the way that she tackles homework, in the way that she tackles hanging out with friends and doing that. There's no prior planning. Everything's reactionary. Mm. And I'm that way at work, too. Like, I've got my list of what I need to do, but I function a lot better if I do my day reactionary, where I just wait for things to pop up and just tackle whatever the first thing is. Mm-hmm. Another effect of ADD that a lot of people might not get is cleaning. People with ADD were notoriously dirty, unkempt, cluttered. There's stuff everywhere, but we know exactly where everything is because the way that our brains kind of regulate our dopamine, cleaning isn't something that's going to trigger a big dopamine release in my head. Hmm. Not even having it done.
That's weird.
Where a normal brain,
yeah,
you'd think, okay, these are all the things I want to get done. And as you do them, you get this little hint of, hey, good job. You know, you did good. You know, good job. You did it. But with ADD, you're constantly chasing, okay, that will give me a reward. But if I sit behind the couch and play my video games and get the high score I've been trying to get, that's going to be a bigger dopamine release. And then I might ride that while I do my cleaning.
Mm.
And so you're trying to build up that bank of this, for lack of a better term, dopamine release. Another bad one is memory. There are times where I will literally, in my head, go, hey, I should go get the pencil that's on this desk. And I'll stand up and have no recollection of what I was supposed to go do.
You sure that's not being a parent?
Like, it happens everywhere I go, all the time, to the point where I'll have to like type it real quick into my phone. So as I'm on the way to do the thing, if I forget, it's typed.
Wow.
It's right there. And it's really bad.
That's crazy.
But if I take my medication, it's the first thing in front of my mind, always. I can always kind of track down what I need.
Hmm.
Another big one, and you'll see this in a lot of kids, is time blindness. That's where you're able to hyper-focus at one time on one subject so much that everything just disappears. No hunger, no thirst. You don't know what time it is. Things
kind
just,
of like being in the zone for normal people,
right?
Like during art.
Yeah, normal people are like, all right, I'm going to zone out for a bit and do my thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is that to another degree. This is that where like, it'll happen to me at work. I'll go buy lunch and set lunch in front of me. And then all of a sudden, 2-3 hours goes by and I'm like, what the fuck? I haven't even eaten my lunch. What have I been doing? I haven't been working. So, like, nothing there's getting done. Like, what have I been doing?
That's weird.
And again, ADD isn't about not being able to focus. It's about focusing on everything. People who have ADD, they also have kind of another emotional disorder, usually bipolar. And so like I have what they said was severe adult ADD inattentive. So I have trouble focusing on the one thing that needs to. And then I've got this bipolar component that just makes me depressed. Well, ADD and depression is kind of bad together. They're not really good because people with ADD, we get imposter syndrome all the time where like everyone tells me I'm smart and I can do these things, but then I don't do them, you know, and then I look really bad because I don't do them and it's not done. But yeah, I think a lot of what it comes down to is it's kind of a dopamine release. Like we've been dealing with Aubrey and getting her on medication, which she just started, but it's like, I'd sit her down and tell her, look, okay, you and I, we think about things the same way. The way that we think about tasks that need to be done, everything that needs to happen, right? It's life's a lot easier if we gamify it, right? If we give like a point value to everything. And so we tried when she was little, like, okay, this is how we're going to deal with it. Because I wanted to avoid putting her on medication too early. Because one of the worries as a parent is, okay, I'm going to put her on this medication that the world is going to tell you is meth. This is meth. You're putting your kid on meth. And, you know, we probably waited too long. You know, Aubrey's now 13. She's in middle school. But that meant that all throughout elementary school, like, she struggled. She struggled to focus. She struggled to pay attention. She struggled to do that. And as a parent, it's hard to decide when's the right time. When do I take my child in? And it's a long process. You have to get in with a psychologist or a therapist. And they have to develop a case record, and then you have to talk with teachers. But our biggest worry was medication, and that medication would cause some issues. But they use amphetamine and methylphenidate salts, and those two have been used for almost a century now to help with ADD. And when taken at the prescribed dose, they're incredibly safe, and they've got a great therapeutic index. That means that it's common for you to not feel the side effects of the drug, but still get the regular effect of it.
That's cool.
And so it's one of those pills that once you kind of find your dosage, you don't have to change it. You don't have to move it.
That's nice.
Keep it where it is. And so, yeah, people kind of build up a tolerance, but it still keeps working. We looked into some other options for Aubrey. We looked into like non-medication options, which is usually just kind of like behavior therapy. So it's trying to figure out what your triggers are. What triggers take away your attention? Is it seeing the kids outside? Does that take away your attention? Is it knowing that the TV's in the next room? You know, and so it's trying to find these little triggers that you know, help you, I guess, help you understand where your child is.
Do you ever feel like she uses it like as an excuse, or do you feel like she doesn't like that?
She's never used it as an excuse. She's never gone, oh, that's my ADD.
That's good.
So she's never used it as an excuse. But I mean, I think it's one of those things where like once you find out, you kind of give yourself a little leeway because you're like, oh, well, I have ADD, so it's hard to pay attention. Where in reality, it should be like, all right, I know I've got some fucking ADD, so I need to get in front of myself and stop myself from screwing up. But I wrote a lot more, but it's all so dry. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, one of the big things I saw, like as you read any of this, like research or any of this stuff, it's kind of like the personality test, right? You like read this stuff and some of it makes sense to you. And so you start to attribute it to your personality. Like, oh, I took this personality test and I'm this whatever. I kind of felt that way reading into ADD, but it was more like, wow, I read this example and this explained why when I was in the fourth grade, my teacher got frustrated with me and told me that I was the smartest idiot he'd ever met. Where you're like, okay, like,
did that really happen?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Or, you know, being told that I'm incredibly lazy, but still like acing all the tests because I understood the stuff. I just didn't do any of the work because I just forget to do it. But some of the big things are like people with ADD, you're typically a night owl and you get a huge dopamine reward late at night for staying up, eating sugary snacks. The way that our bodies metabolize carbs and glucose, metabolize at just a little bit lower level. And so we need a little bit more of that sugar to get that glucose up. And sometimes our brain will say, look, the dopamine hit we need right now is a big dump of sugar. We just need, you know, a big candy bar or something.
Is that why, like, caffeine, is it kind of the same thing where sometimes caffeine levels out people that have ADD?
Yeah. When I was working as a camp counselor, I had one kid, he was almost autistic, almost non-functioning, and he had ADD, and he was crazy. And I think I've told this story before. Like, he was crazy. He was so full of energy, and this kid was an Olympic swimmer. So full of energy, and this kid was tough as nails. His name was Michael, and it was so hard to, like, calm him down because he just wanted to just go, like, wrestle and, you know, let's beat you up, and then let's go climb a tree. And it was so hard, and he kept asking for coffee. He kept asking for coffee in the morning. And I was like, there's no fucking way I'm giving you coffee. And one day I had it, and I was like, fine, here you go. And I gave him a cup of coffee, and he passed out at the table, and he slept most of the day. And turns out that, like, has like the opposite effect, and it totally mellows him out.
So weird.
And like his, you know, but so like if you notice your kids like craving, like not just wanting the candy, but like craving, like God damn, I need to have. If your kid walks up to you and is like, God damn, mom, I need to have a candy bar. You should probably give him a candy bar. But I'll have cravings like that where it's just like I have to eat this, and then all of a sudden I'm okay. And my body can actually relax and come down because I've kind of met that glucose sugar level that triggers that dopamine release to tell me that I'm okay, that I can just kind of chill and relax. Mm. And there was a time recently where I didn't have that. And I was like crawling out of my own skin. It was when I went to the emergency room because I was having those headaches. Mm-hmm. I just had like a lumbar puncture and I had a headache that lasted for like 9 days. So we go to the emergency room and it's, you know, it was like 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. So my Adderall had worn off. I hadn't had that big sugar influx that I normally have because I didn't know what they were going to do at the emergency room. Mm-hmm. And then we were just sat in a room and no one talked to us forever. It was like I could focus on literally everything in that hospital right then, but just couldn't be in that environment anymore. Mm. Like I couldn't sit still. And I was telling Mikhail, I was like, we've got to go. I can't just sit here. Like, this fucking sucks. I don't know. It felt like I was like on like drug withdrawals just because.
I mean, sugar is also very addictive. So it's probably double whammy for.
Well, what's funny is that's not really an issue with ADD because the way that your body metabolizes a little less, it makes it hard to get addicted to like caffeine. Like I'm not addicted to caffeine and the Red Bulls I have in the morning are sugar free, but if I go without them, I'm totally fine. But I can't concentrate for a second without a Red Bull because it just mellows me out. It just brings me down. But so we've got Aubrey on her medication. She just started. And, you know, our goal with her was she wanted a pill that she didn't have to swallow. So she got a little capsule that she can break open, sprinkle on her cereal. And then I just told her, I was like, look, you're probably not going to feel anything for the first couple weeks. But keep a diary. Write down, you know, what distracted you, what didn't. This is something you can do with your kids if you're worried that they have ADD. Watch them throughout the day and watch, you know, hey, okay, they're working on their math now. And what is it that's grabbing their attention? And just kind of keep chart of it. And you'll be able to see, okay, wow, it really doesn't matter what it is. His attention is always somewhere else. Or, wow, his attention is only on his little sister when his little sister's playing video games. But you can kind of chart this out and you can talk to your teachers if you're worried. Teachers are really good at seeing this and catching this early because they want kids to succeed. Mm-hmm. It's a little harder with Zoom and online classes, but now that some kids are going back in full time, if you have a question, you can ask them, let them know. Also, always talk to like your family practitioner, you know, psychologist, therapist.
Do you know like what age to start like really worrying about it? Because
school.
School age.
If they start struggling, in my opinion, and again, I'm a doofus. if they start struggling in school, that's a good time to look into it. Because you're also going to look into other things. If they start struggling, eyesight, mm-hmm. are there other learning disabilities? Are there other, you know, things that could be causing, I don't know, them to not pay attention? So around school age is when we're going to find all this stuff. That's when we're going to find that they're hard of hearing or find that they can't see well. Mm. And so treat it kind of like that. If they're struggling and you don't think that they should be struggling, talk to the teachers. Hey, is there anything you've seen that might indicate that they, I don't know, might have this or might have that? But long story short, it's a real thing. It sucks. It's hard to explain to people that, that don't have it. Like the medication we take doesn't make us superhuman. It literally just helps us function at the normal level.
So what advice would you give to like a spouse who's dealing with a spouse who has ADD?
So that's really hard because like relationships are really hard. Like even talking to you right now is really hard because the minute you talk, my brain's like in three other places trying to like, oh, what's the next best point I can make? And mm-hmm. so I miss part of what you say. Well, that comes through in relationships as well. Like dealing with Mikkel, like Mikkel got frustrated on Sunday because she started cleaning the house. And that's not a task that was at all near the top of my priority. Mm-hmm. It was just stuff to make me happy. And so, hey, I'm going to go here and I'm going to go here. And I left the house. And because of that inattentive, I didn't even notice what she was doing. Mm-hmm. I didn't even think about it. I didn't even think in my head once, hey, we've got chores that we got to get out of the way. It was straight mm-hmm. to just doing whatever was fun for me. And so I'd say probably just a little understanding that the way that things take priority in our brain is a little bit different. It's something that we can control, but it takes a lot of practice. I've only been diagnosed since what, like 5 years ago, 4 years ago?
Yeah.
And I'm still absolutely struggling. I'll take my medication, but you still struggle. I still struggle. So like making sure bills are paid. Like the fact that I'm the money guy in the relationship scares me because all of a sudden I'll look and I'll be like, how the hell is our internet bill 3 months late? I've been paying all this shit, but no, I totally missed it. So I just say understanding that it's a real thing that has real negative impacts. And we feel that negative impact on both sides. We feel it on the side of, oh shit, I can't believe I forgot that. I feel like a horrible person. And then I made you upset, so now I feel even worse. You know, I don't know. It's really hard. I would say if you think your spouse might have it, push them to go see their doctor. If you know they have it, asking them, hey, did you take your pill today is not going to help. That doesn't help at all.
Asking anyone that for anything, unless it's birth control.
Well, like if you don't take your Adderall at the same time every day, it wears off later in the day, and then you don't sleep. Mm. And so you're just up forever. So I'd say, If your partner knows that they have ADD, they should kind of understand already the effect that they're having on you because it's very obvious to us. I feel like an asshole 90% of the time because I'm so aware of the effect that my inability to focus or plan or commit or remember has on everybody. And it sucks. So like editing the podcast, I always forget until the night before it's supposed to go live. But we've been doing this for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And how often do I forget? I still
remind you like every other week.
I still forget every week. And it's not that.
Even this morning, I'm like, you ready for a podcast today?
Yeah. It's not that like I don't care. And it's not that I don't want to do it. It's just that the amount of reward that I'll get for doing the small task of editing the podcast is below these other 400 things that I have literally at my reach in my house at any time.
Well, and it's hard for like people on my side to remember too, because like there's been so many friends in my past that like I was the leader. I was the person who scheduled everything. Mm-hmm. I was the planner. And if I didn't plan it or talk to them or reach out, I would never hear from them.
Honestly, the reason why we've been friends for so long is because you are that person. 'Cause I'm not.
But you do ask how I am a lot. Yeah. Which is great.
But think of how many other friends I have that I hang out with regularly.
None. I thought it was because I was just so awesome. No, but
you're literally, yeah. It's because
I'm a planner.
Yeah. But no, it is that. It's just because like, oh, I'd love to have all these friends and I'd love to go do all this stuff. I just forget to reach out. Mm. Or fuck, it's been 15 days since they sent me that text and I've ghosted them for 15 days only because I got their text right as I got someone else's.
Mm. But it's partially because I'm a little awesome, at least, right?
For the purposes of the podcast.
I think that's going to be our last episode. We've really enjoyed you guys.
Yeah.
On my side of it, though, I think like remembering that is good so that I'm not thinking like, does he just not care? Is he not remembering? Right. Because if he cared enough, he would remember. But really, it's ADD. Mm-hmm. And one thing I noticed with you that really helped me with my boss, because he had ADD really bad, like really bad. I would say worse than you by quite a bit. If he was in the middle of reading something that he needed to sign, I knew to shut my fucking mouth. Do not speak. Barely move. Like, even if I crossed the room, he'd be like, oh, you getting candy? And I'm like, no, just look at the paper. Just please look at the paper. And like, you couldn't do anything if it was something that I needed right then. Mm-hmm. And we had this one employee and he would walk in and be like, oh, hey, what are you doing?
Like,
oh,
I'm just,
and
fuck, I'm like, Doug?
No, you ruined literally the whole day just now.
So we just got done, you know, we're kind of rehabbing our home. We just got done with our office. And it's this really cool space now. And I'm downstairs. It's Friday. And I'm working because I work from home on Friday. Mikkel had it off. And I get done with lunch and I go down there to start working. And she comes down with the dog and she's laying on the floor playing with the dog. And I go, are you going to be in here? Because I got to work. And she's like, what? I can't be in here while you work. And I said, no, absolutely not. Not in any capacity. This is a safe zone. Everyone out. Because, yeah, any little bit. Like, even if my dog comes in and lays down and she's sleeping, I'm constantly looking at her like, oh, she's so cute. Look at her. Oh, fuck. It's been 2 hours.
Okay. There was times with my boss, too, where his wife would say like horse blinders or say squirrel, and she would literally put her hands on either side of his eyes to like look at her. There were times where I would be mid conversation and I could visually see in his eyes
that
something I said sparked some thought, or and he's just waiting for me to shut my mouth so that he can talk. Yeah. And I would stop and be like, you're not with me. And he's like, no, I'm not. Sorry.
No, what I got this sweet
even though
idea.
He's quiet and staring at me, like they, so sometimes you could just be distracted by your own monologue.
I almost yelled at one of my coworkers today. His name's Steve.
Fucking Steve.
I'm in the middle of proofing. We got this big order for Adobe, which is a huge company. And I'm in the middle of proofing my art to make sure that it's all perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a big order. And I'm in the middle of like literally checking inch by inch to make sure everything matches up. And he just comes right in, sits right down, puts his stuff on my stuff. It took everything in me not to go, what the fuck? Get out. And to like try to listen to him while my head's also like remembering exactly where I was, looking at my arts, and I'm like split. And like when I got done dealing with him and his thing, I had to take a break before I could get back to what I was doing because he had exhausted me so much. Another thing that might signify ADD is this search for dopamine, of finding louder, bigger things, you know, scarier things.
An adrenaline junkie?
Yeah. So seeking louder, bigger, faster, funnier, riskier, more intense. You get bored really easy. And so in some of these like low stimulation environments, you can come across like a dick. Like
that time where you said we're only friends because I'm a planner.
Yeah, like that. Well, like I'll just be at home and Mikkel will decide to have a peanut butter sandwich. And then I've got to make some comment like, oh, you smell like peanut butter. Because there's nothing going on. And it's like my brain needs that conflict. You know, it's kind of like, have you seen, there's a meme that was going around a while back where it's like when the first Red Dead Redemption 2 came out for the PlayStation 4 and people said, now's the time to make your wife angry so she'll go to bed early and you can play your video game.
That's terrible.
But it's like you get in these low stimulation environments and it's like you have to drum up some type of situation that'll put you on edge. Now I've got to fix it. Oh, fuck. Now I got to fix it. Oh, hey, you certainly sweep like your mom, you know? And then...
What does that even mean?
I don't know. But... And so, yeah, if you find yourself, when it's quiet, you're kind of a dick, but you don't mean to be. It could be because you have ADD and your brain's searching for something. And if it can't find it, it'll create it.
That's interesting. Really weird.
But like pornography is a huge one for people with ADD because you can almost always make it riskier and riskier. Or like public sex is another big one. Or driving really fast, skydiving, extreme sports, like something where you can always up it to the next level. And then you ride that dopamine back down. And then once you get to the bottom, you're a fucking asshole because you have no stimulation again. But yeah, hopefully I didn't botch that too bad.
No, it's very, very interesting.
It's one of those things that like, yeah, it's a real deal. It's a disability. If you have it as an adult, let your work know. Let your work know that sometimes you have this time blindness. Let them know that sometimes you can't focus and you need to be able to work on your own time. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe if you're working from home, you can say, hey, look, is it all right if I do the last half of my day between the hours of midnight and 4 a.m.? I'll still be there in the morning, bright and early, but I'll just get my shit done. Yeah.
Yeah, most places probably won't care.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
But yeah, so not just a childhood thing, but something we're starting with Aubrey. So I'll let you know how it goes.
Yeah, that'll be, especially other people who suspect or are starting their kids or themselves on that.
Well, you want to do some segments?
Yeah.
Segments. Yeah. What do you got?
I have a true crime.
Uh-oh. Which one's that one?
What'd you do?
I wonder how many people have actually seen Pink Panther.
Not up in here!
Like the cartoons that are still alive today. Have you ever seen those?
I mean, I think I did those when I was little.
Buena Vista animation.
Yeah, I remember Buena Vista.
They had Yogi Bear. They had...
Hey, Yogi.
Yogi. Hey, no, hey, Boo Boo.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, they had Bullwinkle.
Oh, yeah. Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Yeah. And then what was the Russian people's names?
I thought it was interesting. They made a Tom and Jerry movie.
Yeah.
That came out of left field.
Yeah, I don't think anyone wanted that, though.
No, probably not.
Like.
But they did it.
Like, I don't think I've ever met someone who's like, yeah, I'm a total Tom and Jerry fan. Like, no one's like that.
I'm Team Jerry.
no one's like sitting down at night, like after like a long day of work and a good dinner, sitting down with their family, watching TV and thumbing through the air. Oh, fuck, Deborah, the Tom and Jerry movie. This is the best news ever. You know,
no.
like worrying about it being canonical with like the original cartoons. And
yeah.
No one cares.
No.
No one wanted that.
Nope. Anyway, so I have a true crime.
Okay.
I get a call from my daycare provider, and she's like, I just got done texting Finley's friend. We should give him a name.
Landon.
So Landon's mom texts Dina, my daycare person, and she's like, I just got some really sad news from Landon, and I just want to make sure that Finley's mom's okay. Because Landon came home and said that Finley told him that her mom died in her bed last night and that she was really sad about it today. And that's awful. And I just want to like check.
But she's at daycare.
And Dina's like, and Dina knew when she texted her what it was about because she heard my daughter like sadly, oh, my mom. And I heard she was coincidentally on Marco Polo, and I could see her in the background. And she's like, yeah, my mom got died in her bed, is how she put it, that I got died. So she's like, no.
She like literally forgot 5 minutes ago when you were dropping her off. And you're like, bye. And she's like, bye, mom. My mom died in my bed.
So she had to tell his mom, no, I'm so sorry. Finley's mom is not dead. She's totally healthy. She's totally fine. So I don't know why she, I'm blaming Frozen because that's all she's watched lately. When she wants to watch a movie, it's been Frozen and the parents die. So I don't know why else. But in my bed, like, where did that come from?
Yeah. Maybe because that's the most peaceful place. It's her bed. That's
her little two-year-old mind processing.
Or maybe she's got it rigged up, and maybe next time you're up there, you should watch out. Well, Jen, I'd tell you I had a segment, but you don't want to hear it. I told you.
I'm not lying. I have crippling depression.
Not a lot has happened, as we spoke about for an hour. Because nothing happens. We haven't gone anywhere. Anyways, our dog's getting big. Our puppy is no longer a puppy. It's a big dog.
Yeah.
And my daughter is still a little kid. She's little. She's petite.
Mm-hmm.
She's like under 5 foot.
Yeah.
Hey. And this dog is big. I didn't say anything.
Okay.
I didn't say anything bad.
Okay.
That was nice.
Okay.
I didn't say goddamn short. I didn't say anything like that. That was nice. Well, the problem is she'll start playing with the dog, and the dog will start getting rough, and then it's too much, and then Aubrey's got to be like, stop. And so it gets really confusing for the dog, right? Yeah. Because the dog's getting these signals of, let's play, let's
roughhouse. Yeah, do you want to play or not?
And then the minute you get roughhouse, it's like, fuck you! You don't get to do what we do. We're people, and you have to shit outside, and I get to shit in clean water. Think about that. I use clean water to poop in. That's what you drink, you fucking animal. Where was I?
Roughhousing.
Oh.
So did you really forget, or was that?
No, okay. I went a little too ham on that one. So I told her, I was like, if you want her to listen to you, you need to start working on training with her. Cause we work with training, sit, shake, lay down, work with her on the leash. Cause she's 6 months old. She's fucking crazy. And she's so big that she's going to hurt someone.
Yeah.
So training is very important. Mm-hmm. So she's getting trained, and oh man, she's doing so good on the leash. I'm so proud of her. Well, I'm at work. Mikkel's at work. It's Wednesday. I get a message from Mikkel, and she goes, okay, my heart's dying. She peeked in on Aubrey because we have a Nest camera to see what Aubrey was doing, and Aubrey had gotten some treats and was working with the dog.
Aww.
And come and sit and lay down and shake.
That's awesome.
And the dog was listening. They were doing it. But Aubrey never told us that she was, like, doing this and working on it. But, like, going from being in our apartment, our two-bedroom apartment, with no dog and we're all crammed for space, to now Aubrey's got like a cool little buddy. Oh, I should also, no, it shouldn't be this. This one sucks. Screw this dog. Aubrey finally made friends in the neighborhood. That's way more important than the fucking dog.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Stupid animals.
Yeah. We're hanging out the other day. Neighbor comes, knocks on the door. I haven't met him. He's like, hey, I'm so-and-so. And I was like, oh, cool. What's up? Because it was just him and his daughter. I was worried that, like, he's like, oh, my daughter says your daughter punched her. But he's like, I just thought they should meet. And it was great because Aubrey came to the door and the two girls were staring at each other. And I was able to just be fucking dad. I was like, this is awkward. This is awkward. Why don't you guys say something? None of you gonna say anything? This is weird. You guys are just, I gotta embarrass her. And it was fun. And then she went out and played.
That's awesome.
For like 2 days in our neighborhood.
That's amazing.
That's what it should be.
Yeah.
Screw that dog.
Cause like that's been Finley's rule this whole time. Like if you play outside, yep. I don't care. You're not gonna get COVID outside.
Yeah.
Go play.
The other day she was like, hey, can we go down to the park? And I was like, you can go anywhere.
You can go to Vegas if you want to.
All the kidnappers are inside quarantining because they take this shit seriously. Okay. you can go anywhere you want.
That's awesome.
And then like a bunch of girls showed up at the door like, hey, is that, and like, I can't wait for when things go back to normal and our house can just be a revolving door of her friends.
So you're saying I can send my kids there? That's what I'm gathering from this conversation.
They're okay walking home. You can send them. That should have been it. I don't know.
Yeah,
why
that's
I do
awesome.
That dog thing.
Stupid dogs.
I looked at our demographics. They're not dog people.
I mean, most people hate dogs and want to eat them for dinner. Yeah. We just lost 90% of our listeners.
But we gained the Philippines. That was racist. But they do eat dog. My dad went there on his mission and ate dog.
Really? Uh-huh. Why would he partake in that?
It's just the most, it's like the most readily available meat.
And was it delicious?
He didn't say, which I appreciate. But he did say it was weird because.
You didn't ask?
He had some weird shit happen, okay? If folks, if you don't know what a mission is, in Mormon culture, you turn a certain age, boys disappear for 2 years. We send you all across the globe to knock on people's doors and drive them crazy. He got sent to the Philippines in the middle of a civil war.
Oh.
And like his like mission presidents or whatever be like, you can't write home about this shit because they will pull us out of here. But we've got Lord's work to do. My dad would go like tracting through these rice paddies. And he and his partner would have to like hit the ground because these militia were shooting guns over their heads in these rice paddies that have these venomous snakes.
Ew.
But he said that he'd go to like people's houses and they'd have like four little dogs running around. And then the next time you're there, they have three little dogs. But they've got meat for dinner and they're inviting you to stay over.
That's so sad.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sad.
So on that dark and depressing note.
Have a great 2 weeks. Let's end on something a little happier.
Okay. Yeah.
Dog was delicious.
If you think you or your kids might have ADD, I'm going to put a bunch of links down in the show notes. Please do not take anything I said as advice or as being factual. Stuff changes constantly. And here at Unqualified Parenting, we change our opinion with new facts. That's life.
Yeah, that is life. And if someone's not, then you should take a close look at them.
Like really close. Like really look at
them. Like what the fuck?
And say that the whole time. We're looking, what the fuck? What the fuck?
Or at least mouth it while you're staring at them.
What the fuck? And one of you will end up getting help. If you have questions, comments, concerns, ideas, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, if you know someone who would like to be a guest, if you have a good idea for a guest, you can drop us a line at
hello@unqualifiedparenting.com.
Like, subscribe, tell your friends to listen.
Please rate us. I know it seems like annoying to like go to our thing and then click on the stars and then say blah, 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 but it really does help us.
Yeah. Rate us if you don't hate us.
And then if you do hate us, then just send an angry email to hello@parentingunqualified.com.
Garbage email division. Don't say bad things about us.
Instagram at Unqualified Parenting is our handle if you want to follow us on there.
That's it.
You have survived another full night of parenting.